Well, we'll see how this goes. My voice will give out and you'll all be spared. Well, 10 days ago, I attended a funeral in Ruislip. One of the teachers at our school, Louise Duffy, died on New Year's Eve at the age of 33 years.
Leaving a husband, Joe, and a daughter, Lily. I've written a little about Louise in our new magazine. Louise specialised in teaching year one children, that's the 5 to 6 year olds. And she also led on what these days is called inclusion, which is all about trying to meet the individual needs of each pupil. Louise had been ill with a form of leukemia for some time, but despite various treatments and apparent remission, eventually overwhelmed her. Well, the school closed for the day in honour of Louise and to enable staff to attend the funeral, which took place at the Breakspear Crematorium in Ruislip. Hundreds of people gathered to pay their respects. The service was led by the Reverend Anna Poulsen, who is Vicar of St. John's Church in Southall Green, where Louise's parents, I was told, have some involvement. The birds of a feather flock together, so afterwards I had a word with Anna, and I began by telling her that I thought she'd handled the occasion very well indeed. Not an easy thing to do. I also mentioned that as a teenager, I had once stood on Southall High Street handing out gospel tracts in Urdu and Punjabi to passers-by. This was part of the ministry of another parish in Southall, which had links to the church I was involved with in Laleham, near Staines. I don't mind telling you that I cringe now when I think about that occasion. I was told it was evangelism, and I was told that evangelism is something that Christians should do. And when you're young, impressionable, and keen to please, you volunteer for things, even evangelism. So I just wanted to start my thinking this morning with you in Southall High Street. I don't know if you've ever been there. I don't think I've been back really since I did that. Because it's one of the experiences I still think about when I wonder, as I often do, what does it mean to follow the example of Jesus in proclaiming the good news of the kingdom? Now, in Galilee and the lakeside village of Capernaum, about 2,000 years or so ago, I note, according to the Gospels, that Jesus carried no tracts in Hebrew, Latin, Greek, Syrian, or any other of the multicultural languages of the region. But our Lord had to start somewhere, and he had to start somehow. His method, it seems, was personal, direct, and bold. He went to where people were, which Matthew tells us was a beach with some boats and fishermen, and some synagogues, meeting places where the community gathered regularly. And our Lord spoke in ways that were intriguing and compelling and convincing, sometimes. Other times people wouldn't listen. And he also healed people. As well as his method, his timing was important. Now Matthew's gospel goes into some detail here and is careful to report that Jesus' ministry began only after John was arrested. John the Baptist is spoken of here. Now there may be a lot that we can make about this. Perhaps Jesus was waiting for John's work to be over in some sense. Or perhaps there was something about the traumatic arrest of John and what happened to him. It's said that he was eventually beheaded. Perhaps there was something about the horror of all that that stirred Jesus into a response that was this action of going around the place preaching. Well, maybe we need to get our timing right and all kinds of things, but also in the way we seek to communicate the gospel. Maybe there are things that need to finish before new things can begin. Or maybe sometimes something jolts us into a new phase of action and thinking. What will be our wake-up call if we need one? Now, as well as the method and the timing, the location also shapes what is possible and what we can do. Jesus' location is perhaps sometimes ignored. I'm not an expert on, you know, first century Israel, but from what I've read, Capernaum up there in the north, around Galilee, was a kind of crossroads place with many different cultures. You know, we might want to use the word multicultural, but it doesn't apply perfectly. But that's the kind of thing that we might want to think about. It was highly influenced by the Romans, and they did a lot of building around there, roads and houses, other structures. The area had a long history of not being Jewish, but being Assyrian, but it also had very deep roots in Jewish history. So it had all these kind of themes going on in that part of the world. It also had a synagogue. Not every community had a synagogue. That simply means a meeting place. It was a center for Jewish thought. And in a sense, this was a uniquely positioned area, influenced by various themes, which shaped the way Jesus' ministry began. Now, Capernaum is not the UK. It's not Surrey. And it's certainly not Sen, or wherever we live and move and have our being. So one question we might ask as we think about the way Jesus did it, and we think about, well, how are we supposed to do it? Perhaps one of the things we need to ask is, what's unique about where we are, our place, that makes it suitable fishing country? Movement was also a big feature of the way Jesus lived and thought. He was not much interested in this phase of his life in being static. After being based for some unknown period in Capernaum, it seems our Lord began to move around. That was a big characteristic of the way he was, the way he lived his life. And we all know from reading the Gospels that disciples, followers, and crowds then began to accompany him because he was on the move. Now, most people don't live like that. Most people live relatively stable lives, following patterns of behaviour with family and community links, schooling and employment, whatever. Yes, change happens occasionally, maybe huge change. You know, we move house, go to a different region, or something happens that means we have to relocate in a big way. But yes, of course that happens, but mostly, most people are not on the move all the time. So the lessons we might learn from the way Jesus proclaimed the good news of the kingdom certainly need to be adapted, usually, to a more static and stable kind of way of being. Now on this story of Jesus meeting these first disciples, some have noted there are basically only two ways of fishing. You can probably work them out, but I'll tell you just in case you're struggling. You can go out in a boat, or you can stand still somewhere. I mean, those are the basic options, aren't they, if you're going to go fishing. So if we're fishing for people, what method are we using? And how effective are our methods? Now, it seems to me obvious that the church tends to be a kind of static way of fishing. You know, this church has been here in one form or another for over 1,000 years. It hasn't moved much. You know, as a focus for Christian thinking and worship. You know, it's been rebuilt and remodeled, and we've got a bit of work to do on it this year, we hope. It's the ultimate in thinking of static things, isn't it? One of the first questions people ask me when they visit the church is always, how old is it? They're just fascinated by the length of time that it's been here and it's not been anywhere else. It is static. And unfortunately, in my opinion, you know, a lot of what the church does can tend to be overly focused on the buildings that we have, and it colours our sense of what's possible in our mission and in our evangelism. So yeah, we do what we do, we try to do it well, but basically we're saying to people, right, well, come along, you know, here where we are, we're not going to move, and kind of get caught up in Christian worship and Christian teaching and Christian thinking, Christian community, and gradually become a part of it. It's a very static way of evangelizing. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's only one of the ways in which we can tell people the good news of the kingdom of heaven. The good news of the kingdom cannot only be church-shaped. We need to be out and about in our lives and in our conversations, in our relationships, and in those healing moments that we're trying to have with people, making people's lives better, not worse, bringing new opportunities of wholeness. Now, this doesn't mean we have to become completely different people. One of the blessings I get from reading this encounter of Jesus with the first fishermen in Galilee is, I mean, you have to think it through a bit, but it seems to me that Jesus called the fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James and John, to follow him, partly because they were fishermen. And more than that, because they were Peter, Andrew, James and John. That's why he called them. And that's why we are called, because of who we are. God cherishes each one of us for who we are. We're not all the same, we're all different. And God has called us. That is an amazing thing. You know, if each of us were going to kind of sit down and design what a congregation should look like in 2020 in Send, we wouldn't come up with this, would we? But we can believe God has. Yes, we want it to become better and bigger and more effective than all of that. But you know, every Sunday I come here, I just cherish the fact that we are here, whoever is here. Sometimes people say, you know, rather disappointing or grumbly, oh, you know, there's not many people here today, are there? I couldn't care less, actually, at one level. God has brought us together this morning. That's how I think of it. Yeah, of course we want there to be, you know, a full church and all the rest of it. But this is a good thing. Where two or three people are gathered in my name, says the Lord, there am I in the midst of you. God is with us this morning, if we can believe it. That's an encouraging thing. And now we're all crumbling away, falling over and losing our voices and feeling old, and we run out of energy, and you know, what's the point of it all, and all the rest of it, on a bad day. But come on, we also know all the good things that are going on, how much we can support each other, how we can bring our experience to bear, you know, all the tragedies and loss that's accumulated among us. I mean, look at the knowledge that we have, and the encouragement that we bring to one another, and the support, and the hope, and the love. These are good things. And I believe we've all been called. If you're doubting it, let me encourage you to re-engage with the possibility this morning. We've all been called, personally, because of who we are. Crumbling and falling apart. Because of our name, because of some of our gifting, we've been called personally to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are, sort of bumbling along, trying to work out what it means together. We can do it. We are doing it. We have done it. And we are being transformed, just like Peter, Andrew, James, and John were. Transformed. They made loads of mistakes. But they were transformed by their encounters with Jesus. They learned day by day to become more like Jesus and to be on the move in their faith. And slowly and gradually, we know how the story unfolded. Where does this take us with our evangelism, whatever that means? Oh, what a rotten word it is. I mean, yes, it's a great word, it's in the Gospels, but it's got loaded down with so many meanings and presumptions. I think it's a lot easier than we might imagine. We haven't got to go and stand in Southall High Street giving out tracts in Urdu and Punjabi. We haven't got to go and stand in Sen Road either. Just got to be who we are, where we are, with the people we're with, at whatever moment, in whatever place, knowing that we are loved by God and that we want to share that with other people. And that will get the net out of the church in everything that we do. And if we're consistent, if we're compelling, if we hang on in there when things get tough, you know, as old Winston Churchill was supposed to have said, if you're going through hell, keep going. You know, if we can do all that faithfully, yeah, maybe God will bless us by adding to our number those whom he is calling. I hope that's what can happen. God of all mercy, your Son proclaimed good news to the poor, release to the captives, and freedom to the oppressed. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit, and set all your people free to praise you in Christ our Lord. Amen.